guys, this is a crazy song. We got to stay standing. It's called River of Life, and it's been fun as Nathan joins us again with the bass. So let's sing it out.
Brothers, sisters, come on down to that river. Guarantee you'll never be the same. Fountain flowing from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilty stains. Let that river of life wash it all away. Then search on, carrying burdens. If you've been lost and looking for a home, you've been drifting, something is missing. You should know that you are not alone. Brothers, sisters, come on down to that river. Guarantee you'll never be the same. There's a fountain flowing from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilty stains. Let that river of life wash it all.
This next song, it's kind of a mashup of two songs, but you know how Andrew says that worship begins before worship begins? What does that mean? Well, coming to church, yes, that's worship, but in your daily life, in everything you do, that's worship as well. It prepares you for today, that you can just lay everything at his feet, including confessing sins. That's part of your worship, confessing to him that, hey, I'm struggling. Hey, I need your help. Hey, I need to get rid of this. I need to push this aside. That's part of your worship, right? And then you can come before him just as you are in a state of worship. Amen? So that's kind of what this song's about.
Time to worship. Time. Now is
kind of picked this song because I knew Nathan was able to play today, and I know that this is kind of his jam here. You know, age them, him and Brian age them, you know, this next song. But they did, when I had this, when he flipped the page last night, he was like, oh, yeah, like we're playing this song. I don't do this one terribly often, and you'll recognize it. It's an older song that maybe you've never heard in church before, but boy, the words are biblical, right? And you know, if you've lived any time on this planet, any length of time, you know that life can change in a moment. And there's seasons for things. There's seasons for. Why are you talking behind my back?
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's like a 4-year-old.
We're talking about all dyeing our hair and beards one day and not telling you that we're coming in because you keep on talking about how old this song is and stuff.
It is.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm young. I'm the young one. Anyway, there's a season for things, right? There's a time when we might be in a valley. There's a time when we're on the mountaintop, and sometimes we don't know how long that's going to be. And this kind of is basically what this song is about. And you'll recognize it. I'm sure it's a song that's well known. When we started doing it one time, Phil introduced it, and we thought, this is kind of a cool thing to do once in a while, just to have a little bit of a change. And I do know that sometimes life is really hard, and sometimes we're just on the mountaintop, and we just never know. But we know that we have God to trust in, right? That he has our life in his hands, and we may not always understand in the moment, but just hold on and wait, and sometimes he asks us to do that, right?
To everything turns, turns, turns. There is a season, turns, turns, turns. A time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plan, a time to be. A time to care.
Everything turns. There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. A time. This next song, I just love the words to this. You know, I hope you've come here expecting God to do something in your life. If you're not coming here expecting to get something out of this, now, not meaning that you be selfish. I'm not meaning that. But you come into a place like this in worship that you want to hear from God. You don't just want to sing the songs and then just fall away, right? And we do our best to try to make it appealing to you guys, right? But that's not really what it's about, right? And, you know, when he walks into a room, and it doesn't have to be this room. Like I said, it can be in your car. It can be anywhere. I'm hoping that you meet him there and that your heart and your will isn't in the way, right? And you're asking God, God, what do you want me? What do you want from me right now, right? Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's questions about the future. Maybe whatever it is, I hope you come expecting that when he walks into the room, everything can change in a moment's notice, right? I hope that you believe that about your God. And anyway, that's what this song's about.
We'll be right back.
Well, if you're new and you have been coming just for a few weeks, or maybe today's your new first day, I mean, you've probably never heard this song unless you listen to worship on the radio or on your Spotify. It's basically a song about giving it all, not just a little bit, but giving it all, right? He doesn't ask you for just a little bit of your life, because he was broken all the way. He gave everything for you, so he expects us into that in return, right? And it's from, it's basically about the, relating back to the story. It's called Alabaster Heart. It's of the story of the lady who broke the alabaster jar over Jesus. That was all she had, the most expensive thing she had. And she was mocked and questioned for it, but she didn't care, because it was her worship to God, right? And that's what he expects of us, is that he wants to break our heart in order to mend it, right? He wants to break us down in order to mend us. And that's a very confusing thing to think about when the culture is saying the complete opposite to us, right? And so if you guys know this, feel free to sing it out. If you don't, just capture the words.
All my soul, all I own, you can have it all, my
You know what? That's an incredible song, isn't it? We were saying as worship began, I just feel like there's a depth to some of the worship that's being written today. And it really encourages me because I believe that there's an awakening within the church, right? There's an awakening within the bride. There's this deal of we're getting a little bit away from the entertainment side, which kind of had seemed to have taken over, you know, in the last decade. And it's this rawness and this beauty that is humbling me. And boy, I've been hungry for it, right? Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed this morning, but please don't stop there. Here's the deal. We've been talking about agape love, right? And we've been challenged over the last few weeks of saying, wow, you know what? We needed to this reminder that people are watching you, right? Regardless of whether you want it or not. And we kind of talked about this last week, that your life is an example. It doesn't matter if you want it to be or not. Your life is an example. And then my question was this, is what kind of example are you being for the Lord? Right? Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others. 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among them that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Philippians 2:5, shine among them like the stars in the sky. And we kind of tried to amplify this idea that agape love, which is very foreign to the world, right? Agape love, which some of them may never experience in that sense in its fullness because it comes at the beginning of surrender, right? Agape love, it should be unmistakably on display in you, right? Unmistakably on display. And last week I said, men, let's iron sharpen iron. Let's talk about our homes. And we used that as kind of the example that your home, your life should be different, right? We should let it shine. And so this week we're kicking off Love Atlantic. And this is kind of an interesting thing. Again, I know it's new for you guys. We kind of have been here over the last couple of years of saying, you know what, we really want to love our community. And we see the results of that. We see how people are intrigued by the love that we've shown them. And usually, which is amazing to me, it leads to deeper conversations of why in the world are we doing those things? Why in the world are we sacrificing? Why in the world are we showing that kind of love? And it always comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? Well, across the Atlantic provinces this week, we're coming together to love, right? And we want to celebrate that love. We want to celebrate what love can do. And so this morning we kind of challenged you to say, hey, we're taking up a harvest offering that's going to be used all year long to help those who may be struggling with groceries or heating or whatever it would be. If they don't do wood, we're going to try to fill their oil barrels. Like, we're going to try to keep loving our community in the way that we do. But this week especially, right? We want to show every church and we want to show every town that has a local church the difference that love can make. And we want to celebrate all of that generosity across the provinces. And so you see at the back, there's a table there, and maybe next week we'll have a few up here. But we want you guys to kind of be tallying your hours of service, right? And it may be going to listening to grandma because people haven't been visiting grandma. And you know what? You should be visiting grandma. Amen? You say, well, Andrew, she's not that easy to visit. I had a grandma like that, right? I went to visit her anyway. Why? Because it's the right thing to do, right? And we want to challenge you that maybe there's someone else right down the road from you that you know has been struggling. We want to challenge you to take the time to visit them. We want you to do random acts of kindness. We want you to do random acts of service. We want you to maybe purchase somebody's coffee who's in the line behind you just because they look a little stressed. We want you to maybe meet some of the needs that pop up around you because we believe it's not by coincidence they pop up. We believe that there's a lot of times there's designed love encounters that you are given if you would only rise to the occasion and meet the needs in the name of Jesus, it would change all of eternity. Amen? And so we want you to kind of keep that tally, right? Because we want to celebrate it together. Now, again, at the back, there's going to be chances for you to write down service I served, right? 8 hours this week on my own time, above and beyond, just, you know what, the church things, I kind of served. I served. I love people in the name of Jesus. You don't put your name down. Right? It's not about what we do. It's not about us at all. Amen? So we don't put our name down. It's that verse, and I kind of want to amplify this because I hope that this never gets lost in any of the churches that are kind of joining in this week. You shouldn't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing when it comes to giving to those in need. So we're not writing down our names, but we do want to celebrate. Wow, across the Atlantic provinces, there was this many hours of love given, serving in the name of Jesus. Won't that be exciting? And I hope that you want to be a part of it. If you buy something for another individual, we want you to tally that. Again, not to put your name down, it's for no earthly reward. It's this idea that we want to celebrate that sacrificially this much was given in the name of Jesus. And I hope that you're excited about that. You know, one of the things that we're planning on doing is the cut day. Right? And we prep for all winter long for those who are going to say, Andrew, you know what? We're running out of wood and we weren't sure how much we would use and we're running out of wood. We have had widows call us and say, Andrew, I've got no idea because my husband used to look after that and could you please come and even do an assessment? And I go in and give my very best. Wow, what happened there? I just had a stroke. Are we taping this one? You service too. My very best guess. Woo! I don't know what happened there. Phil one day was talking like that, and he made no sense, and we looked at him, and we wanted clarification. He didn't know where he was going either, right? So there's the deal, but you know what? We've had families that have said, you know what, Andrew? Wow, we have been saving, and then the roof started to leak. And we don't know how we're going to heat it, but you know what? If we could come down to the boneyard and we could cut our own wood even, you know what? We would be willing to do that. And the next day, we're able to deliver right to their house stuff that's ready to go into the furnace. Praise God. We're doing that Saturday. And you may say, well, you know what, Andrew? Whew, I'm not very good with a saw. Well, I don't want you on a saw. All right? I've had people who thought they were good on a saw be on a saw, and it turned out to be a very dangerous thing for all those who are helping. So your gift may not be working a saw. Well, then I might put you on a splitter. And if I see you're being dangerous on the splitter, I might ask you to pile. And if you seem to be dangerous piling, I might ask you to go get the pizzas. But listen, there'll be something for you to do that keeps me safe, right? And then another thing, like watch the Facebook, watch our website, because here's the deal. This week, we may put in Sharon's wood, depending upon weather. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, Sharon is a girl who lives right down across the road from our church plant in Deep Brook. And you know what? She is a sweetheart. And she works for the Lions Club. And when we said, you know what, we're looking for a space to do church, she said, Andrew, why don't you do church here? And I said, what nights are open? She says, Andrew, you tell me what night you want to do church, and I'll tell you that night's going to be open. Like, she's one of the Lions, you know what I'm saying, in the Lions Club. And she kind of said, hey, whatever you want, because we need a church right here. We need a place like this to love the community. And so for the last few years, we've been putting in Sharon's wood. And you see her get excited about everybody who shows up, and they are loving her. And the first time we did it, she said, Andrew, I can't believe that you're doing this. And I said, well, what's so hard to believe about loving people, Sharon? She said, well, just nobody's ever come to help me like this before. She says, this is kind of crazy. Does your church do stuff like this all the time? Yeah. And right there, right, we had an opportunity to start sharing the vision that God put in our hearts a couple of years ago, saying, you know what, we've always dreamed of a church right here. She said, man, that would be some neat, wouldn't it? Well, here we are a couple of years later, and you know what? We have 40 people showing up on Tuesday nights worshiping the Lord. Praise God. Those are the things that we want to be able to do, the love that we want to be able to give. And so here's the difference, guys. What's different about this week? I hope that you are loving all year long. Amen? I hope that you are loving more than Sundays and Tuesdays. Amen? Right? Because I've seen churches like that over the years. I've seen Christians like that over the years who they did their very best to get cleaned up and to talk right on Sunday, but then come Monday, they were acting a little different. Right? We don't want that. I hope you don't want that. I know the Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to love 24/7, 12 months a year. But this week, we want you to be intentional. To be very intentional, to be praying that God would display opportunities for you to rise to the occasion, to be spiritually alert, and then in faith, jumping out of the boat and trying to meet some needs. Would you be ready to do that? You say, Andrew, what's the need? The need could be anything. It could be a listening ear, like I said. That you simply see or recognize, because you've been praying and you've been looking, and maybe one of your friends or maybe one of your relatives or maybe somebody from down the road is grieving. Maybe they're struggling in life. Maybe, you know what, they would say, man, COVID has made it pretty lonely. And you'd say, hey, well, if you're feeling that way, why don't I come over some night? Would you mind if I stopped by the house? Would you take a tea or coffee? Well, I could put the coffee on. Well, I don't mind getting it. And then you start arguing over the coffee and you say, fine, and I'll never see you again. No, you don't go there, right? If they want to make you coffee, wonderful, let them make you coffee. But here's the deal, be intentional. Maybe someone you're talking to needs encouragement. You'd say, well, Andrew, where in the world am I going to meet those people? Those people are all around you. That you know, every day that you go to work, right, for those of you who are in the working class, right? There are people who are wondering why you have the hope you have, why you are positive, why you never seem down. And you know what? That could turn into a conversation and a chance to encourage them, to show them a brighter side of life. And you know what? From those conversations, getting into talking about your Lord and Savior. You know what? Maybe there's a bigger need. Maybe there's somebody that you're going to run into who all of a sudden says, you know what, man, we are struggling. We are struggling to get groceries. How many people are excited about gas prices? Nobody's excited about gas prices. And now they go, oh, they've come down to $1.50. That's not down, folks. Right? Don't you get lost in the political rhetoric to say all of a sudden they care about you, because our grocery prices, when I can walk out of Sobeys with over $200 in my hands, there's a problem with the price of groceries. Right? And there's sometimes where I'm gotten to walk over to Sobeys almost because the truck is empty and I'm going, there's no way that I could fill this truck because we got to start cutting back. You know what I found myself doing for the first time in 10 years? I was rolling quarters. You know my change jar? Now, here's the power of a change jar. You say, Andrew, why do you have a change jar? Allison and I try to be pretty frugal and pretty smart with our finances. And you know what? For the most part, the things that we need, we always have. And even some of the things that we want, God has blessed us. You know that I rolled my change jar and we made our mortgage payment this month? Isn't that incredible? Right? Stuff that would have gone missing, stuff that just would have went to Tim Hortons maybe, right? And there's nothing wrong with Tim Hortons. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, I was so excited about that change jar. Maybe there's going to be a bigger need. Maybe you're going to be in line and you're going to find somebody who all of a sudden, you know what, says, ah, I don't know. They're watching the total on the register in front of you in the grocery store and they're saying, how much is that now? And you'd say, isn't this crazy? This is crazy. Like, Love Week is here, and I have been blessed, and here's someone who is struggling. It looks like they're struggling to pay their groceries, and they're worried about, and you're able to say to them, hey, excuse me, if I can just, don't worry about how much it is. You know what? I want to get the difference. Don't worry about how much it is. You know what? Again, depending upon how much they're buying. Be careful on this one, right? Let me cover your bill today. Maybe it's someone who you know is struggling like that, and you can possibly get to them and give them a gift card or a gas card, and you say, you know what, we're doing something called Love Week, and we just want you to know that God loves you, and you know what, I knew that you were struggling with gas, and I hope this helps out this week or this month. And you give those things in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's a little bigger. You'd say, you know what? My neighbor happened to mention that they're having a hard time, and you know what? They don't know how they're going to keep the car on the road this winter because they don't even have winter tires. They need some new tires, and it's got to be safety. And you know what? That's their lifeline. And you'd say, well, you know what? Maybe if I stand together, wow, you know what? Buying tires can cost you $500, $600. You say, I don't have $500, $600, but you know what? I got $100. I wonder if I could find another five people with $100. Give me a call. Because you know what? When we stand together, something beautiful happens in the kingdom world. you'd say, wow, Andrew, you know what? I just, you know, I don't know how I can give. You don't know how you can give? Be aware, be alert, be intentional, because God is going to display all of the love that is needed around you this week because it's bathed in prayer. That there are people, because of COVID and because of lockdowns, that are so lonely. There are people in our community that are so scared that they don't want to even leave their door. What if you called them? You know they're struggling. Why? Because they've disappeared from your life. What if you showed them you cared by giving them a call? And you know what? They may not be ready for you to stop by with coffee. But I can guarantee you they'd appreciate the call. They may not even want to get the phone because they've forgotten how to talk to people. And you could leave an encouraging message to them and say, you know what, I'll call again. Don't wait for them to call you back. I'll call again. I'll give it a few days. And then in a few days, be a man or woman of your word and call them back and say, hey, I'm just checking in on you. How are you doing? You know what? There's going to be testimony after testimony after testimony of people who come, and they're going to say, Andrew, you never would have believed what happened. And I'm going to say, yes, I will. Tell me. Because you know what? I stand in awe of God, but I am no longer surprised by what God does, because God keeps doing and doing and doing and doing. When he walks into the room, everything changes. The dead begin to rise. And you know what? Our culture that we're living in, with even in the interest rate hikes, you will be shocked at how many people, because we live in a culture that didn't respect money or finances, and they have no plan. So what is the world that we're living in? We're living in a world that says, it doesn't matter if you can afford it. Buy it and pay for it over the next 20 years. But then interest rates start to go up, and they tick up just 1%. Well, the problem is we're living so far beyond our means that there are people who are saying, I'm not sure exactly how we're going to make this month happen, and they're going to lose, and they're going to lose big, because that's what borrowing is. When it comes to pay the piper, oh, the piper gets paid. You know, there's people and friends that we have in this community that make crazy amounts of more money than I have ever made in my life every year, and they're struggling. And my thing is, you know what? Is grace and mercy for them too? Absolutely, it's for them too, because those same people are coming to me and saying, Andrew, you don't make very much at the church, do you? And I said, not a lot. I make enough. But you know what? If I wasn't working at the church, I'm pretty sure that I'd be making enough, because I choose to live content with the things that I have and maybe making a plan for the things that I want. And they're going, what do you talk about, this thing, making a plan? And before we know it, we're into financial counseling where they are it's very clear to them that they've been doing it wrong. They have the whole world and it's still crumbling down around them. And then a little bit of advice and a little bit of talk and a little bit of relationship. And you know what? They start to see that some of the things that they've been seeking haven't been fulfilling them anyway. Let's let some of these things go, because you know what? You're living stressed and life wasn't meant to be stressed. How do you have your freedom, Andrew? Well, it was this carpenter feller. Oh, you're going to start preaching to me now. You're the one who asked the question, moron. Should we continue the conversation or not? Yeah, maybe it's about time I heard. And they go, wow, that makes sense. You're going to find yourself unwrapping the relationships that you never knew were going to talk about eternity this week, all because you're intentional. Are you ready for that? Here's a quote by John Wesley. I love this quote. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Why? Because love changes eternity, folks. You need to be intentional. Think of the standard of Jesus. Did he love those who were around him? There was a reason why he was invited to every party. And you notice the church wasn't invited there, but Jesus was. Woo! Oh, that might have stepped on some toes. But Jesus met needs who were around him. Jesus was the one who went to leper camps. When you know what? Families who would go to leper camps, they would drop off supplies sometimes, and they would talk to their loved one from a distance sometimes, but then they would leave. Well, Jesus went into the leper camps, and Jesus embraced the untouchable. He embraced them. Do we? Think of the example of Christ, even the lady who was at the well. Everybody would see her coming, and they would cross to the other side of the road. Why? Because her character was in question. And you know what? We don't want to be seen with such a lady as this. And what does Jesus do? Jesus asks for her assistance, and he starts talking about drinking from a well, and he brings it into a whole bigger spiritual realm, all because he started a conversation with someone who nobody else in the community would talk to. You see, when love was his response time and time again, we see the beauty of things. And he always took it to the extreme, right? Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That may go against your nature, but if agape love is flowing through you, you know what? You will start to see your enemies not as weeds. You'll see your enemies as wheat waiting for the harvest. And that may not be natural to you, but that's natural to a loving God. Jesus always took it that step further. He says, somebody hit you, let him hit you again. And you're like, what? Yeah. Love really can be grand. Love really can be complete. Love really can be all-encompassing. Love can be inclusive. And so today, I just want to read you a story. I mean, we're almost done. Don't be panicking. You're saying he's just starting now? Kind of. Luke 10, you guys know this story very well, starting to read at verse 25, right? On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, look after them. Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you would have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Again, this is a story that you all know real well. There's 5 characters in it, right? There's a man who becomes victim, right? He gets attacked and he's left for dead. There's a priest, there's a Levite, there's a Samaritan, and there's an innkeeper. There's 5 kind of guys, very simple story, right? And this poor feller who is minding his own business, he gets attacked. It says that he's on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. If he was walking that distance, which it seems like he was, it would have been 37 kilometers, which by foot, that would take you a day. It would take you 7 hours. So he's traveling for the day, and on his way, he gets attacked, he gets beaten, he gets robbed, and he's left naked and dead, right? And 2 guys all of a sudden come by, and they both ignore this man. Well, who are the guys? To the listeners, that would be shocking. The first is a priest. Who was testing Jesus? It was an expert in the law. The feller who was testing Jesus was probably a priest. So Jesus, in telling the story, says the first guy was a priest. Woo! That would have got everybody's attention, right? And he says this priest not only did not stop, this priest passed by on the other side of the road. He wasn't willing to get dirty. He wasn't willing to get involved. He wasn't even willing to check on the man. And then Jesus does something else that's shocking. He continues with his story, and he says the other fellow that came by was a Levite. Well, the people all of a sudden would have perked their ears up because the Levites were chosen of God to serve in the temple. They were chosen of God to show mercy. But no, not this Levite. This Levite looks at him too and crosses over and still won't check on the guy, even though maybe when he was going by, he was hearing the gurgling of blood and air trying to fight for this man's lungs. And you know what? He won't stop. And then Jesus says the unthinkable. Then a Samaritan comes by, right? Which is interesting because Jesus mentioned that he was traveling. We know that he was already 160 kilometers from his home region. And here he is, he's traveling, right? It's interesting because that would assume and that would kind of let us know that the priest and the Levite were actually locals. So the locals didn't take time. But here's this feller who is traveling, and you know what? He's the one who all of a sudden says, wow, I'm on a timetable, I'm spending money, I'm probably on a budget, and you know what? I don't have time to stop. But not only does he stop to check on the feller, but all of a sudden he starts to tend to his wounds. Probably on a budget, and you know what? He's not thinking about the budget. He's pouring out oil, and he's pouring out wine, and he's trying to help this guy. And think about this, too. If he wasn't native to this region, then he was the one who had to inconvenience himself even more because he didn't know where the inns were. He didn't know where the medical help was. And so he takes the time, and he starts to search those things out, and he searches out aid, and all of a sudden, even though he's inconvenienced, he says, more than this, this is costing me, but if it costs any more, I want you to know that when I'm back through this way, I'm going to pay the difference. Wow, a Samaritan. Do you know that Samaritans didn't get along with Jews? There's a long history there. If you ever want to study it, it's an incredible Bible study to have. But there was no love lost between these two people groups. And while two local Jews who were in ministry passed by, the most unlikely foreigner stops. Spending funds that he probably didn't have, giving time that he probably didn't have on a man that he certainly didn't know. With the promise to do even more if it's needed. Sacrificially giving, he committed to him. And Jesus says, who's the neighbor? Who's the neighbor? And the expert of the law says, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, yeah, do that. Show mercy. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? To who? To everyone. Even the most unlikely, show mercy. Even the Samaritans, yeah. Who have you found it easy to fight with and to argue with? Who have you found it easy to hold contempt with? You know what? Maybe you should start showing mercy. Yeah, why don't you do that? Maybe there's someone in your family that you haven't been getting along with. Maybe there's been someone you've been holding a grudge to. You know what? It seems so unlikely that they would be a part of Love Week. Why would you assume that it would be unlikely that God would make them a part of Love Week? Do you not know that when he walks into the room, everything changes? Show mercy. Why don't you do that? At the most inconvenient of times, even at a cost to you, Jesus tells this story. And you know what? Love really is messy. That's the reality of love. Love is messy. Are you ready to get messy this week? But love takes time. And you say, I don't have any time, Pastor. Well, then you're living wrong. Because you're bound by a schedule that God never made you for. He made you for his glory. And if you need to free up your schedule, fantastic, because you know what? He's supposed to be the Lord of your life, not the calendar. You say, well, Andrew, I just don't have any extra. Whew. If you don't understand that our God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, then you've never stepped out of a boat. And this week, I want you to jump out of the boat and see what happens. I can't tell you the times that I've said, Lord, this makes no sense, but I'm going to give because I really believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're telling me to give. And then all of a sudden, the Lord bless me. Wow. Like it all of a sudden falls in my left hand when my right hand is handing something else out. And I'm going, Lord, you are crazy and awesome and certifiable, and I love you. What Jesus is saying, he's saying love can be inconvenient. In fact, expect it to be inconvenient. You know what I hope for? You know what my prayer is for this week? Is that you would be inconvenienced. That you would see your neighbor or your friend or your enemy, and you know what? You'd be willing to get messy with them. That you'd be willing to sacrifice with them. That's what love is. One week, if you would try loving and showing mercy, doing that, if you would do that for 1 week, it would radically change the way you live forever. Radically change the way you live forever. Whew, I'm telling you, there'll be no going back. You know why? Because heaven will change because you chose to love. That heaven will change. That there'll be those who will change their direction for all of eternity simply because you were inconvenienced. Isn't that incredible? That's always been the dream of the harvest. We love why? Because there is a harvest. That's why we love. That's what Jesus did. Do you want to live like that? Let's do this. Everybody, close your eyes. We're going to pray. Who was the neighbor? The fella that showed mercy. Yeah. Do that. Lord, I want to pray right now that your blessing would be on the entirety of the whole Atlantic provinces and every church and every believer. And Lord, we would be filled with compassion and mercy that is a greater level than maybe we've ever been filled with before. And I pray that we would be intentional. I pray that you would bless the efforts of the bride as they reach out to their communities, Lord, across all of these provinces. And I pray, I guess even more importantly, that you would change the hearts of the church as they do just that. That you would lead us to those who are in need of mercy, and you would give us the wisdom and provision to meet each one. Lord, I really believe that this week is going to be, there's going to be transformation. And Lord, transform whatever needs to be transformed in me. We pray all these things in the incredible name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Guys.